Welcome to the First Right Podcast, a weekly conservative news show brought to you by Restoration of America. I'm Jerry Ewalt, Chief Marketing Officer for Restoration of America. And today we are blessed to have with us Brian Birch, President and Co-Founder of Catholic Vote, a strong voice for American Catholics. Brian is joining us to talk about the newly filed lawsuit against the FBI that weaponizes the agency in its targeting of American Catholics. Brian, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Great to be with you again.
Yeah, well, you know, last time we had you, you were talking about all the attacks that were happening to these pro-life centers and Catholic churches across the country. And now we're about to talk about another attack coming from maybe another unexpected source, the FBI and the DOJ.
Yeah, unexpected or expected. In some ways, I think these two issues are related. And that is, as the Republicans in Congress have rightly pointed out, unfortunately, our Department of Justice has been weaponized against political opponents. And their target, at least in our view, among others, are pro-life Christians, and in this case, Catholics, as we've learned, because someone inside the FBI was so outraged by what they were fixing to do, to use a Texas term, that they leaked a memo to the outside that became obviously a firestorm. The Attorney General has now disowned it, claimed it was just a rogue analyst inside of a single field office. We've since learned that is not true. What he told Congress was a lie. This memo was designed to allow the FBI to spy on Catholic churches under the auspices of Catholics of a conservative bent being somehow a threat to democracy, and that Catholics would entertain racially motivated violent extremist ideologies. There's no basis for this whatsoever, and that's exactly why we have pressed them for documents through a FOIA request, and their refusal to answer us has now resulted in us having to file a federal lawsuit about a week or so ago.
How did all this stuff start? I know you already talked a little bit about how there's some misinformation thrown out there that it's a rogue agent and things like that, but walk us through what happened and what you've uncovered.
Sure, well, it started in January, and as I mentioned, a analyst inside the FBI office in Richmond, Virginia, was so troubled by what the FBI was planning to do that he or she leaked a memo that had been circulating that we now know has been distributed to other field offices, in which the FBI made the case for surveillance of Catholic churches, both in Virginia and potentially elsewhere, under the theory that conservative Catholics posed a threat to the country. And what they essentially argued in this memo, again, that was secret but was then leaked, was that conservative Catholics were ideologically disposed to what they refer to as radical right-wing ethnic extremism. And because of that leak, that has been now the subject of a congressional committee, a Jim Jordan's committee on the weaponization of the Department of Justice. And the Attorney General himself has been asked about it in testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. In that testimony, he said he was appalled. This is the Attorney General of the United States, claimed that he was appalled and that there is no practice by the FBI to surveil churches in this country. That would be a clear violation of the Constitution, of the First Amendment. The government has no right to be spying on people as they go to church. And this is, in fact, exactly what the FBI was preparing to do had they not been exposed. And that's exactly what we're focused on, is we need to get to the bottom of exactly what they were planning here, how it came about, who was responsible, how far it went. According to the Congressional Committee documents that they have been able to secure from the FBI, this was approved by two upper-level supervisors and then distributed to field offices around the country. And this is something I keep trying to emphasize. This is not a Catholic issue by any means. This is yet another escalation on the part of the government to use the Department of Justice to turn political opponents into possible domestic terrorists. They did it with parents that were objecting to school board meetings. They've done it with pro-lifers. And now, frankly, it looks like they're doing it with Christians going to church.
Yeah, you've said a lot, and I'm going to try to break this down one at a time, because I think it's important that everyone understands exactly what's happening, and you jump to the conclusion, which is great. So what does a radicalized Catholic look like? Because it sounds terrible, but what is that definition in the FBI's terms?
Well, let's look at what their memo did and how it attempted to justify a so-called conservative Catholic. What they did is they referenced the Southern Poverty Law Center. And for anyone that doesn't know, this is a hard left-wing extremist group that seeks to paint any conservative-minded person or group as a, quote, hate group. They publish a hate map in which they identify conservative organizations around the country. Many years ago, there was a attempted assassination at the Family Research Center. Someone who was motivated by the Southern Poverty Law Center that went in there and shot a security guard and admitted that his plans was to assassinate anyone in that office because of their opposition to same-sex marriage. Really what this is this is, again, not even a conservative Catholic kind of category. This is someone, what they really are after is those who firmly hold to pro-life views, pro-family views. They adhere to the traditional understanding of the family. These are baseline, foundational Catholic social teaching. And you can see here, and this is why this is especially worrisome, is they our government is now caricaturizing anyone that might hold these opinions as potentially vulnerable to so-called racially motivated violent extremists, is what they refer to in this memo.
Yeah, so it's so important that what you were defining. So we're talking about Catholics, and it's easy to say, well, this is Catholics, but it's really what the traditional Catholic stands for. And you said family, right? That's a big piece of it. Pro-life, things like that. So when the FBI says radicalized conservative Catholics, they're really talking about a general concept of someone who is pro-family and pro-life.
Right. I mean, there's many questions that this leaked memo asks. I would not be surprised if it wasn't just Catholic churches they were planning to spy on. What about evangelical churches? What about conservative Muslims? What about any organization that is advocating? Heck, your organization itself could be subject if we could see behind the wall of the FBI, because you, in fact, seek to uphold and advance the cause of the traditional family and the pro-life cause. So again, I think this is broader than just a Catholic issue. This is this should be a concern of any conservative-minded person, that our government has now been manipulated in such a way that we're using some of the highest law enforcement agencies of our country against its own citizens.
So yeah, and I'm going to expand on that, because something we learned this week from the Foundation for Freedom Online, there was America First Legal did a FOIA request, like kind of like what you guys did with the FBI, for the DHS. So what the DHS now, the Department of Health, Homeland Security is targeting is pro-life suburban moms and anyone with old high school friends who believes in conspiracy theories, right? So to your point, right, you start with the conservative Catholics and you talk about the FBI, the DOJ. Now you have the DHS expanding upon this. So I'm sure the conservative Catholics are part of this group. I mean, everything I just read would say so. But now we're expanding it to suburban moms, right, who are pro-life. Didn't say Catholic, suburban moms who are pro-life. And anyone who believes in conspiracy theories. And we need to de-radicalize this group. So it's exactly your point, Brian. You start with one group and it keeps expanding over and over again outside that scope.
Right, you know, the minivans of this country are all working to plan the next insurrection.
That's right.
It's just preposterous, and it's almost laughable if it wasn't so serious. This is exactly what I just described. You see our government now taking anyone that may hold an alternative opinion to this administration, the woke agenda of this administration, and turning them into potential domestic threats. And we can see exactly what they've done. They've built this pattern. First trying to exploit for political purposes what happened on January 6th, of course, using a lot of the conspiracy-minded talk that's now online from QAnon and others, to now any American who holds opinion that may be contrary to this administration has now slowly been, actually not slowly, just in the several years of this administration, now come under the purview of a potential threat to this country.
That's right. And Brian, I want to read this to you because I'm sure you heard this. This is a poem after the Holocaust, right? And it's very famous. I'm sure you've heard it, but it said, "First they came for the socialist and I didn't speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak for me." Right? So it's such a famous poem, and you think about it, this is exactly what we're starting to see here, right? It's easy to say, well, I'm not Catholic, and yeah, I support a lot of things that they're doing, but hey, if I don't say anything, I could just kind of, maybe this will kind of blow over, and we'll uncover it, and our government will go back to normal, everything will be fine. But it's not the case. This is, we can't have apathy, right? We have to have, what we're saying is there's a moral connectedness of all Americans. And if we let this happen to the Catholics, that's going to expand itself out to all Christians, to your point, to Muslims or anyone of faith or anyone that just believes in family and what family stands for in pro-life.
You're right. I mean, this is the slippery slope we're on. And if you're listening to this podcast, the days of staying on the sidelines are over. We can't simply pretend that we're going to revert back to this ideal of America where democracy worked, where the Department of Justice equally applied the law, where the FBI was always the good guys. As I grew up learning, I always thought these were the guys that would go after the criminals, the counterfeiters and the terrorists and people who were up to no good. Shamefully, the left now has been mysteriously silent. You know, it used to be that the ACLU and others would stand up even for ideological opponents when these government overreaches would occur. But more and more, we're out on our own, and groups like ours and yours and many others need to be out there using the tools that we have for now, including demands for transparency from our government, lawsuits if necessary, advocacy, protests, getting involved in your local elections, whatever it might be. We can't simply stay quiet any longer.
No, the time's now because we're running out of time. And if we stay quiet, we will lose our country. It will be gone.
Yeah, well, you know, forget which founder, probably George Washington or someone, maybe multiple, talked about the importance of vigilance, that freedom doesn't maintain itself right, on its own. People have to be vigilant. We have to protect and push back because government, by its nature, is inclined to escalate and to overreach. And so thankfully we do live in a system of laws. We do have tools that are available to us as citizens, and it's our right to use them, and it's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, and I'll tag on to that, right? It's not about, and I forget which founding father said this as well, but they talked about, you know, freedom will be lost not because of anything external, like America will survive on its own from the outside, but it's all what's going to happen internally. If we lose our freedom, it's because of what we've done in internally. So,
absolutely, this is a beautiful country, as I think Donald Trump might say. And there's so much good and so many good people, and even those that disagree with us, I would appeal to, put the shoe on the other foot, or change the circumstances here. And if you have the Trump administration using the FBI to spy on political opponents, and to justify this because these people, because his opponents hold views that are contrary to his views on immigration or his views on the media, it would be preposterous. There would be outrage across the country, and there ought to be here, especially when we're talking about churches, this first freedom protected by our First Amendment, the basis for the founding of this country. Churches should be totally off limits for the Department of Justice, the FBI, to be unjustifiably spying, surveilling, and seeking, frankly, in our concern to set up these members, church attendees, as to do something or to entrap them, as we've seen in other circumstances.
Amen to that. And I think that's why I'm so excited to hear that you have brought forth a lawsuit. And has there been any whistleblowers or anyone that you've been in contact with that you can reveal or talk about that are helping you along this journey with the FBI?
Yes, we have been in contact with several former members of the FBI to better understand what this memo was designed to do. The recipient of the leaked memo is now a special advisor to Catholic Vote, and we talk with him almost daily. He's in contact with fellow former members of the FBI and perhaps those inside, I'm not sure, to try to understand how far this goes and what our next steps ought to be. I can confirm as of today that the FBI has been served the complaint in our lawsuit, and they are due to respond to us in the first week of June. So we're a couple weeks out from the next stage in this, and we'll certainly be updating you as soon as we hear.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. And just what is your take on what's going on there? I know there's going to be a lot of discovery and things are starting to come out now. But, you know, traditionally we've seen, you know, the FBI being somewhat conservative, but all of a sudden they're playing into these woke politics. What's happening? Why is this happening?
You know, this is a problem not just for the FBI. This is a problem for many institutions across the country, whether it be higher ed, you know, whether obviously our government, whether it be the media or Hollywood. There's this ideology that's infected all of these institutions where if you hope to advance or succeed, that you have to play your part in going after your political opponent, that everything becomes political. Everything becomes a tool that's weaponized in order to advance a particular political agenda. You know, there's no reason for this, but this is part and parcel, I believe, of the left-wing ideology, that everything, like Karl Marx said, must be politicized and turned into us versus them, that there's no such thing as, you know, peaceful tranquility. It's, you know, the labor versus the proletariat, you know, the man versus woman, the corporate CEO against his workers. You've seen this, white versus black. Everything is turned into an adversarial conflict. And it's at root really a misunderstanding of human nature, this idea, this Christian idea that we have that we're all brothers and sisters and that we are equal in a really fundamental way as you know, made in the image of God. This is this insight of our own Declaration of Independence. And I don't want to get too philosophical here, but really at root, I think that's what this is about, is this seeping woke, Marxist agenda that's infecting all of our institutions. And when it's in the hands of those with the power of the federal government, it's especially dangerous.
Well, I'm glad you expanded outside the FBI, because this is a cancer that's spread throughout our country. And one of the, you know, as someone, as the president of Catholic Vote, you can obviously relate to this. This is spiritual warfare. And it was really exciting to see Tucker Carlson come out. I know everyone's talking about Tucker Carlson and what's going on with him, but a lot of people point to the kind of the last straw of why he had to go was because he started talking about spiritual warfare. And that's something you just don't talk about on mainstream media, but it's true. This is spiritual warfare and it's affecting everything in our country. And people are going to say, well, how do you get this back? Well, you can go and you can sue the FBI, and that's a good thing, and we got to make sure we hold people accountable for things that they're doing. But at the end of the day, people need to turn back to God. They need to understand what God's about, what the Bible says, and get off these, you know, we have so many Christians who don't even understand what the Bible says and what's going on, and the curses that come along with it when you turn away from God.
Well, you're so right. We've lost our way, and we've lost our way in direct proportion to our loss of our Christian understanding of what it means to be human and what it means to be a free person living in a country like the United States, where freedom is a gift and it's up to us to defend it. But this idea the Christian principles or the Christian understanding of the world, I think is at root what this is really about. It's yes, there's a political fight, but what the left is really after is not just trying to punish their political opponents. What they're after is a deconstruction of our Christian society altogether. They hate what we stand for. They hate what we believe. And frankly, they believe that organized religion itself is part of the problem. And their aim is to get rid of it. Replace it with, we don't know. I don't think they know quite yet. I'll tell you what comes after it, though, is chaos. So this is a civilizational crisis in many ways, and this is just one manifestation of that struggle.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And look, last question for you. There's a lot going on with the Dobbs decision. Obviously, we believe that at least Justice Alito believes he knows who was behind it. Are we ever going to find out who leaked it and why?
I doubt we'll ever know the exact identity. I think there's good reason to, as Alito suggests, they pretty much know it's one of a few people. But until they have firm proof, the Supreme Court of all institutions is going to be careful to allege such a thing, because it was so terrible and so violative of our norms. But we're going to have to live with the fact that the left plays by different rules.
That's right.
But that's exactly why we need to continue to hold them accountable.
Yeah, just another example of, like you said, how the left play by different rules. And again, this is all tied together, and the time to speak up is now. So Brian, I want to thank you for taking the time, for joining the show again. And may God continue to bless you and your organization, especially as you stand up against the FBI and hold them accountable. And just thank you for the fight that you're in.
Well, thank you for all you're doing to cover this, and for being side by side with us in this fight. And we're grateful for all the listeners that are doing the same.
All right. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and supporting conservative media. And don't ever forget that by working together and staying diligent, we conservatives can bring our country back to true greatness. Until next week, let's all keep praying that God will continue to bless America.
First Right, a new kind of news summary without the liberal slant. Every morning, in your inbox, always free. Subscribe by texting First Right to 30161. That's First Right, all caps, one word, to 30161.